Good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Home-Based Business 101 here on Blog Talk Radio, which is truly listener-supported radio. We'd like to thank the 40-some thousand-plus listeners who have tuned into a show here on Blog Talk Radio, truly meaning that as we put together these shows and these platforms, that somebody out there is listening. So we're thankful for all of the listeners. Before I bring Mr. Murphy on today, I have a reading that I like to do out of a book called Daily Motivations for African American Success. It's written by Dennis Kimbrough. September the 9th, 7-11 or the 2-minute drill. My family keeps me centered. They tell me when I need to turn the dial down. Earl Graves, founder of Black Enterprise Magazine. That's the opening quote. A day after his checkup, a man called his doctor to get his results. The doctor said he had bad news and worse news for him. Which did he want to hear first? The man decided he'd rather hear the bad news first. His doctor said, the bad news is that you only have 24 hours to live. As expected, the man became distraught. He shouted into the phone, 24 hours to live? I can't believe this. It's incredible. What could be worse news than this? The doctor replied, the worst news is I was supposed to tell you yesterday, but I forgot. The Bible says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And the rule of his spirit, and he that taketh a city. This is a great thought, but have you ever felt just a little frustrated with these words of truth, especially when it's so difficult to keep your mind focused on your objectives? In our preoccupied and sometimes hectic lives, we need the patience of a saint to think on these things all the time. So what's the key? How do you stay focused in the midst of turmoil? Each morning I take a few precious moments to mentally set the tone for the entire day. This mental condition helps to slow me down, to buoy me up, depending on my needs. These golden moments incite me to enthusiasm and calm me with tranquility. Just a few minutes each day can work wonders. By taking time to center ourselves, we can approach life in a peaceful state of consciousness. We can laugh at the ambiguities of our fears, in the incongruities of life. Today I will take a few moments to relax and center my thoughts. That is the thought for the day. And it's interesting, like you said, a guy had a doctor who was supposed to tell him the day before that he had 24 hours to live, but forgot. And because the man hadn't heard that news, he lived another day. So, you know, the thing is keeping ourselves focused on the simple things of life and not getting all caught up in the ambiguities and the consequences of how things might turn out. Usually the things that we fear the most is, like they say, false evidence appearing real. So, with that in mind, let's get into the today's show, the National Black Unity News Show. And there's a lot of chat and chatter going on in the African American community because people are upset the way Serena was treated yesterday in the U.S. Open, being penalized and then taking a game from her, which might have caused her to lose that second set and ultimately losing the match. And so she took a stand saying that there are male players that had did worse things than she had did as far as her handling the umpire and the chair, who was the one that made the decision to take not only a point, but take a game from her, which put her at a disadvantage into the second set of the match. And so, you know, there's a lot of people that are commenting on that on Facebook, social media, and other places. And did you get a chance to see the match, David?
No, I didn't see the match, but I've seen a lot of commentary, news reports, online commentaries about the situation, but I didn't watch it directly, no.
Okay.
And but all I can say about that is this. You know, when I look at things like this, and here you got a black woman, and here you got a young lady who's half Japanese, and I believe she's half Jamaican, I believe. I'm not sure.
And Haitian,
yeah. And both of these are people of color. You know, they going for the title. And then you have in the middle the man who's supposed to be judging. Now, I don't think sometimes, you know, we great athletes, but sometimes, you know, they want people to know who's in charge sometimes. And I remember seeing this young man running around the court on a consistent basis, throwing his racket around. I think his name was John McEnroe.
John McEnroe.
I mean, he would have a hissy fit on the court. Call the judge or the referee, everything but the child of God, nothing done or said. Oh, he just let off steam.
He had an empire. I remember seeing a match where he had an empire removed from his chair. Told him, get him out of that damn chair. He can't call the rest of this match.
Yeah, so you know, there's a thing called privilege. Still exists. And, you know, and when it's so blatant, yeah, it can throw you off your game. Like you say, if you're not focused on your on the end result sometimes, those things that sidetrack us can really get in our way of our objectives. And that was a prime example of it. But all I can say is this. As I look back over my life, there will always be obstacles, ever since I can remember. And sometimes the obstacles got the best of me, and it got the best of most of us, really. You know, sometimes our best laid out plans sometimes, most often, will be sidetracked. But again, we have to keep our eyes on the prize, so to speak, and we have to look at the end objectives. And just like no matter what, you know, after the disaster that happened yesterday, at the end of the day, you saw a true champion stand up. You know, I saw the part where they was on stage and the audience was booing. And Serena stood up, stood forth, and brought out the champ in her, and hushed the crowd, and congratulated her opponent, and wished her well, and gave her her just due, because that same young lady looked up to her, and so that day, not only did she get an opportunity to win a match, but at the same time, she got a good blessing in grace and dignity and sportsmanship. After it all said and done. Back to you, sir.
Yes, she did, because you know she grew up. And she said when she was 3 years old, you know, if the family had moved to New York, and she remembered sitting up in Arthur Ashe Stadium. Again, you know, stadium named after one of our other great sportsmen, tremendous person in terms of offering humility and sportsmanship throughout his career. But she, her family, when she was three, she had a chance to go to New York, sit in the stadium, watch tennis matches, and say, one day I'm going to play here. I mean, and that had to be, you know, tremendous. And then not only that, but she also had said when she won her previous match, when they asked her what kept her going, or to fight through the challenges that her other opponent gave her, she said, because she wanted to play Serena. I said, why do you want to play Serena? She said, because she's the best. And so I wanted to play the best. She had a chance to play the best. I only played the best, but had a chance to play the best, and was definitely, clearly, you know, winning the match. I mean, you know, there was a chance that Serena might have been able to come back in the second set of the match, but that's, we'll never know that based on how the outcome came about. But this was this young lady's whole dream and challenge was that she wanted to be able to face off against Serena Williams, and she had a chance to do that in the U.S. Open. So she had a chance to beat her idol, play against her idol, beat her idol, and live out her fantasy.
Yeah, and, you know, and that just goes to show you, you know, with determination and drive, because, you know, she had to put in some work to get to where she was yesterday.
Yes, she did. Yes.
I mean, she had to put in there. I'm going to say something else, who's another great tennis player here in Baltimore City, Mr. Satari Jahi. So he knows the sweat and tears and the dynamics of the game. Won't you speak about a little bit about your history in the game, sir, and what it takes to be a champion like these two young ladies were?
Yes, I played tennis for Edmondson High School. Excuse me, and it was back 69 and 1970. I never forget. In 1969, when the season ended, my coach, Mr. Francis Polk, they had the school fill out the yearbook for next year. And he said, you're going to be number two, and Bruce is going to be number one next year. I said, and what makes you think that's the way that's going to be? He says, because right now, he says, you're number three, and Bruce is number two. And that's, you know, that's what's going to happen next year. So I did. I got with my father, and I said, I know what I'm going to do. I said, more than likely, Bruce is not going to practice during the off-season. I said, I'm going to practice so that when I come back next year, there will be no question, there will be no shadow of doubt who will be number one. And I took, and every time that me and Bruce would have to play, in terms of determining who was going to be the number one tennis player on the team, I beat him, but I beat him handedly. I mean, it was no contest. I took him. In fact, my mother thought we were crazy because during the wintertime, we would go up to Edmondson and we would shovel the snow off the court the night before when it was snow so that we could get out and practice. They had these tennis balls that you could buy that was made in Sweden, where they didn't come in a can, they came in a box, and they were I think they were non-pressurized balls or something like that. But anyway, they were good for playing outdoors in cold conditions, and so we would use those, put on some long johns, wear a glove, keep warm, keep our hands warm, and we would get out there and we would practice. And that was the regimen that I went through during the off season so that I could position myself to be number one. And I became the number one player for the year of 1970. And by becoming the number one player, you know, I left a legacy at Edmondson. And then my sister came behind me, and when she came behind me, the coach, Bella Kish, he put my sister on the men's varsity team, and it disqualified the men's varsity team at the time because they weren't supposed to have young ladies or women on the team. So my sister, she broke the code. And today, girls can play MSA tennis on the school teams. But you know, our family, you know, we had a rich tradition of playing tennis and having some great memories from those days of competing and playing at Emerson High School. And it went on later on to play in college. Did win a couple of semi-pro money tournaments. I'll never forget time I won a tournament where they paid me like $1,000. And that was, you know, well into my prime. I think I was like about 27 at that time. I went in the military. That's where I went in the military at 17. Did not pick up a racket again until I got out at 19. So I missed some of the prime time, my prime time years, in terms of being able to make a mark to ultimately maybe become a professional tennis player. Because even if I had made it to number 500 in the world, that was about $100,000 a year in terms of income. And, you know, hey, I mean, all the stuff I've been through in terms of jobs, you know, I mean, I wish I had pursued that. But, again, that's, you know, that's hindsight. It is what it is. So.
Yeah, I can imagine, you know, when you had those gifts and talents, and plus, when you, like I say, I tell people all the time, you have to nurture those gifts and talents. You just can't sit on them because, you know, you may have iron hand coordination and can do this and do that, but you know until you practice to every little shot how you can cut it to go this way and do this, the serves and all of this kind of stuff, you know, all of that stuff is extremely important, and that just don't come naturally. You have to get out there and put in some work. And then on top of that, you have to take your work and go up and get somebody else's work. It's like
yes,
a chess
you
game.
Yes,
you know, I mean, you got somebody else just as good, you know, who can maneuver and this, that. You know, do things. Every player brings something new to the table. So I can imagine for these two young ladies to be in a sport that's dominated by other societies, to break through, first of all, but then to come up into the team and be ranked, and then come up in the rankings, and both of them end up in this major court on this, in this major elite championship game. And so, I give both respects and honor to both of them. Because just think about a year ago, Serena just had a baby, almost lost her life, they said.
Yes, almost lost her life behind having a baby.
And so women, I hear women chiming on it all the time. How in the world can she bounce back like that? So she'll have to be a super, super duper star to come back and then do what she just did. So that is a champion.
She made it to the finals of Wimbledon.
Yes.
Major events. And then she made it to the finals of the U.S. Open. So, you know, and like she said, you know, she still's not her old self in terms of what she expects and anticipates in terms of being able to participate and play the game and play the sport. So she said, you know, that she's still got a ways to go. But, I mean, even with that, you know, she's still beating the mess out of people out there.
Yeah, but you have to also take into effect her age. She was almost twice as old as that young lady. You think about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you talk about then her health. And then on top of everything else, you know, and that's a pressure-filled type of thing that she's in. And to be able to handle all of that. And then motherhood, something new added into her life. You know, and so, you know, so all I can say is this. You know, now that is a true champion. Now, you may not can win everything and win everything, but in my book, to do what she did, she should get, I mean, man, my hats off to her. Because that was an astronomical comeback. And then guess what else they did? once she came back, they took her rankings from her. They put her all the way down to the bottom almost.
Right.
So that's just public, you know, public, you know how these, man, I just go to show you how people do us, you know. Now, here this woman is, you know, but see, because they control the purse strings, they control the facilities. So just like in this country, in our city, they make the laws and they control the laws. And so unfortunately, these laws, you know, according to their purpose, and they use them at their will. Like I say, I've seen people throw all kinds of fits on the court before, but never they didn't get this type of result. But then they say what the judge say is final, and nothing nobody else can do about it. Too much power. That's all I can say. And on that note, you know, like I say, I salute both young ladies, and at the end of the day, they both handle it well. And I think they, for the most part, I believe they respect one another. And like I say, Serena showed a class act. At the end of the day, it was a class act. So back to you, sir.
Yes, sir. She did show class act yesterday. Moving on, what else is happening out there in the world of news, brother?
Well, brother, they say it's nothing new under the sun, but you know these things. It's coming regular. We see it on an average basis, but the killing of black people, it's hitting home so many different ways. Now, we all heard about the police officer that shot the brother, where she stated that she went to the wrong apartment. And then later on, all on Facebook, but all on Facebook, they showing pictures of them together, you know, so. And then here locally in Baltimore, we were speaking of sports. There was a young lady who was murdered recently. And she used to play, she played basketball in high school. Matter of fact, she played basketball all her life. And she played at Morgan. I think she was at the end of her life, she was coaching. And she was shot because she was a witness. They alleged that, you know, she was shot because she was a witness to a double homicide. And they say when she was shot, you know, they say whoever shot her, she was with another young lady, but there wasn't no robbery, nothing. They didn't shoot the other young lady. It was targeted, so to speak, and they shot and killed her. And then come to find out, this young lady, her name was Tracy, is my niece's best friend. It's a grandniece. They played ball from childhood all the way into college. And so it kind of hit home. I didn't know the, you know, relevancy to, you know, to my family, but, so my niece is grieving, and my niece, my grandniece, so, you know, so it's, I can imagine what they go. I haven't talked to them yet, but I've been seeing some Facebook posts and everything. And so, you know, these type of situations, black-on-black crime, I don't know if it was a black killer, but they said it was. But then you got a white police officer shooting this other brother, because I think there may be something else going on with that. Now, at first, you know, I'm going to say this, brother, you know, it was kind of ironic that, you know, on defense of her going to the wrong place, you know, some people may think that's far-fetched, but, you know, I did that one time. You know, years ago when I was working at Fort Meade, I used to work the midnight shift, and I would be so, because I don't sleep at night, you know. I mean, it was a midnight shift. I don't sleep in the day. And so it was very difficult for me to get rest, and I used to be so tired just making it home. I would drive 35 miles home from work every morning. And so one day, I was living in some apartments in the Woodlawn area. And I went into the wrong door, because all of these places look almost pretty much the same, depending on where you park. They all had the same openings and stuff, but my apartment was one door down. And I went into the wrong door and put my key into the thing, and I heard this gentleman say, "Who is it?" And I think, man, the first thing came to my mind, you know, I'm sleepy, I'm tired. First of all, why they got this other lock on the door? Because my key wouldn't go, you know, wouldn't open the door. Then I hear a man in there. And, you know, all kinds of thoughts ran in my mind. I was real angry then. I was banging and kicking open this, you know, well, I said some savory words. But I could imagine, you know, when I finally realized where I was at, and I looked around, I was in the wrong apartment. And I walked away. You know, he still wouldn't open the door. I couldn't apologize to him. Cause I guess he didn't know who I was. He probably was calling the police on me or something. But that just goes to show you that, you know, mistakes like that can happen. But then, all of a sudden, all of these pictures start surfacing up on this young lady, is that like as if they was in some type of relationship. So, you know, so that kind of, you know, well, because I don't know how that place is setting up. I know she said they went to the wrong floor, but I don't know. But in any case, a young black man, promising young black man, is dead. And they trying to figure out whether to bring charges on the police officer. But I can tell you one thing, if it was flipped around, somebody would be in jail and the charge was already been brought forth. But in any case, that's the way it is. Like I say, when people make laws, usually it's to protect the dominant society. So that's what's going on, you know, in me, you know, far as part of what's going on that got my attention over this past week. And so that's the negative side of things that's happening. But on the positive side, I'm in the process of creating and collaborating with a multitude of positive black, African, and indigenous people that looks like me in this country. They're putting together another issue of the National Black Unity News. And when you had that opening statement talking about, you know, keeping the eyes on the prize, so to speak, you know, stay focusing, you know, it's always a task because I've been doing this for some time, so, you know, putting publications together, but I take it kind of lightly, but in the reality of it, it's a lot of chaos, but I'm pretty good under pressure because I'm a printer by trade and my whole lifestyle has been pressurized, so to speak, so it's kind of normal for me. And besides, you know, there's a method to my madness, so to speak, when things are kind of out of rate, but, you know, I always believe and always have came through at the end of the day. And so I'm in that mold right now. So I'm in the mold what I call focusing on putting the publication, all my outside activities get second rank, so to speak, because that's my main focus now is putting together, because this publication is a positive and effective, influential publication that has and will continue to be a great influence on the black community. And it's a unique publication, one of a kind, because most publications don't operate the way we do, and it doesn't have the content the way we do. We see we have individual business owners who generally care about what they're doing, the person their fields, but at the same time, they're willing to share some of the inside things about their business and services with you, the public. Say, for instance, if you was in real estate, you know, they would tell you some of the do's and don'ts in the real estate industry. I talks about the effects of what's happening to our people on a global and a local basis, pretty much. We have a brother like Satabi who's on the air with us. He speaks about travel, even though he's multi-talented, but, you know, they have a travel business, and they tell you about some of the do's and don'ts and how you could save money and make money. And we have a plethora of people giving you insight on all of these various industries. And I believe this issue coming up, it's kind of exciting for me because I think we're going to bring in quite a few new people coming in on board. You know, so far it has mentioned that they have an interest in it, and the next week or so, you know, when it comes to finalization, that, you know, I would know, but there's a whole army of new people coming on, so the paper is growing, and we have a lot of new interests, and we're going to take on new different tasks. We're going to be hosting live networking events, radio shows, TV shows. We're going to be hosting some social events and publication events. So it's a lot of things on the table, and I'm really excited because we are moving forth, and we're affecting a lot of people's lives, and I am honored, and it is a privilege to be in my position. Even though I'm just like everybody else, I have a slew of concerns and challenges in life. But this thing, this publication, is part of my, well, it is my destiny, so to speak, because that's what I'm all about, helping my people. I have that, what I call the Marcus Garvey spirit. I have the Moses spirit, whatever you want to call it, but I've been challenged to help set my people free because I experienced discrimination. I experienced the degradation that can happen to an individual when he let outside forces influence them. And so we have a wealth of talent out here, just like Serena and so many other people, so many other areas that our people need to know about. And people that these people that I'm talking about are willing to share information with you. So if you haven't got a subscription yet, I urge you to get a subscription so you get the physical publication coming home. Of course, you can see the publication online, but it's nothing like that physical because there's so much information in there you want to hold on to. This. It's documentation, and I believe it's history being made. Back to you, sir.
Yes, sir, it is. And I could do is let people know that this show is being brought to you by the Vortex. You say, what is the Vortex, Baba Jahi? The Vortex is your online travel booking site that beats Expedia, Priceline, Hotels.com, beats all of the other sites out there put together. 85 to 90% of the time, you're going to find a cheaper rate on the Vortex. How do you go about getting the Vortex? Well, you can create a free, you heard me right, yes, free, F-R-E-E, free, a free account at myvortex365.com/MU Group. It allows you to go there, register for the Vortex, and create an account, book your travel on there. You can book hotels, cruises, flights. You won't save on the flights because the flights, cost of flights is the cost of flights. But you will save on hotels, cruises, condominiums, resorts, places like that. 85 to 90% of the time, the price is going to be cheaper. So go to www.myvortex365.com/MU Group. And with that said, I like to be able to share poem with our listening audience. And that poem was written by Dr. Benjamin Elijah Mays. It says, I only have just a minute, only 60 seconds in it. Forced upon me, can't refuse it. Didn't seek it, didn't choose it, but it's up to me to use it. I must suffer if I lose it, give account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it. So we want to keep that in mind, that every minute counts. And every minute counts in terms of the things that we do. So keeping that in mind and staying focused, other piece is I'm reading a book called Abundance Now by Lisa Nichols, who is she says a trans, she's not a motivational speaker, but a transformation speaker that helps people transform their lives, because she was able to transform her life. She tells her story of how when she had her son, how she did not have $20 in the bank. You know, she'd go to the ATM machine to try to get some money out. But, you know, unless you're taking out a 20 or something like that, she had $11.45 in her bank account. And so for 3 days, she couldn't get no Pampers for her son. So she wrapped him in a towel for 3 days. And she chanted and said positive affirmations. She said to her son, Jelani, says, "Mommy ain't never going to be this broke again in life." You know, and she said from that point on, you know, she began to take the necessary steps and make the necessary changes to transform her life. She also talks about when she went through a situation and her mother had her to meet with a doctor who let her know that she was clinically depressed. And doctor said, you're very, very sad. So the doctor prescribed Prozac for her. And she asked the doctor, "Can I try something else?" Doctor said, "Well, you can." She said, "But I want you back here in 30 days, and we're going to see how that something else is doing you." And so what she did, she said for 30 days straight, she practiced the I Am affirmations. Because when we go back and we go through the Bible, it tells us, you know, in the beginning, you know, when Moses, quote unquote, met with God and God revealed himself in the burning bush, God told him, he says, Moses asked, "Who are you?" He says, "I am. I am that I am." You know, and so she practiced her affirmations, you know, declaring that I am. I am this, I am that, because whatever you tell yourself, you believe it hard enough, and that's what you will become. So, you know, we need to make sure we practice those I am affirmations, getting that out there in the universe so that we can become a better person in all the things that we do. Also, she redefined GPS. She calls it your God placement system. She says, and when you understand that God places you in different places in your life at different points in time, she said, and you'll learn how to go with the flow and not against the flow, not against your God placement system. So, you know, that's something that is really helping me stay focused. I just recently moved back here to Baltimore. Been back now two whole weeks. And so, you know, and I had a great day yesterday. Had a chance to fellowship with some other men and share some different things, and we'll have a broadcast coming up this Wednesday at noon, in which we will be revealing a program called Funding by Travel, which enables nonprofits to raise money for their nonprofit through the travel industry, which is an $8.1 trillion industry. So I'm saying, if you just get a little piece of that, you know, we're talking about major, major funding. So that in mind, back to you, David.
Yeah, I just want to remind people, too. I was just listening to you talking about Lisa Nichols, and that's powerful. But, you know, there's a lot of hurting people out here. You know, of course, they won't admit it, you know, but, you know, there's a lot of people going through financial difficulties. And there's a lot of people out here just don't know how to make ends meet right now. And sometimes because people don't know, you know, that they continue to stay in the same situation that they're in. But you know, there is a God and there is hope. And see, people don't realize, see, when we come on these airways and we talk about this and we talk about that, see, we are sort of what we call solution-oriented. And I just want to remind people on who's on this airways, if you know someone, if you're going through some difficulty financially, you need to talk to brothers Jahi. See, they have a plan. They have a system in place that can help you make money. And you don't have to, you can put in your own time, you know, and they will give you the proper guidance and leadership to teach you, you know, if you're willing to be a good student, and they will help you to success. You can make, and there's no limit to the amount of money that you can make. You can make money and help people at the same time. See, there's, like I said, if you listen carefully, God will not leave you. He said there's enough resources, but you have to seek and you will find it. So I'm here to let you know that if you're looking for an opportunity, if you need extra income, it don't cost you nothing to pick up the phone and give Brother Jahi a call and ask him about the opportunity, how you can help make some money for you and your family, put food on your table, help pay some bills. Matter of fact, even you might be so stubborn that you can even start traveling. But see, you know, like I said, you have not because you ask not. And so it's time, you know, we not to come out these games, ladies and gentlemen. There's some serious stuff going on. Right now, it's heavy right now, but at the same time, the opportunities are of abundance. And if you give Brother Jahi a call and ask him about the travel business, ask him about the opportunities that he's associated with. And I can guarantee you, if you take heed and be a good student, then those problems won't be a problem to you any longer. I just want to throw that in there, brother, because people don't realize that, you know, we sit around and have our pity parties and blaming this and blaming that. But, you know, God gives you everything that you need. First of all, you have to get up. You got to do something. Faith without works is dead. Ask and it shall be given to you. And so seek and you shall find. And so if you don't know, you can call me because I know of a host of opportunities. You know, I even have positions open right now. If you're willing to work, put in some work, and you're honest, and you want to help our people, then I have opportunity for you as well. So we don't just get on these airways and just talk the talk. You know, we walk in it, and at the same time, we have an interest. We have a vested interest in you, our people. Because, like I said, we believe that if you succeed, we succeed. And we believe in helping each other. Because, like, I have an old slogan, help me to help you so that we can help ourselves. It's a win-win situation. There's no need for us to be in these situations. We need to work with one another. We need to reason with one another. Just pick up the phone. Call me or call Brother Jahi. And ask us, because like I said, we have a wealth of information. That's what we are. We're in the business of information. We're in the business of newspaper, radio. We have services that can assist you. And so all you have to do, again, is pick up the phone, call Brother Jahi, or call myself, David Murphy, at 443-455-2373. Again, that's David Murphy, 443-455-2373. Back to you, sir.
Yes, sir. My number is 252-458-3712. 252-458-3712, and that's Baba Jahi. Definitely give me a call. Give me a call, and here's some things to go by. Remember, you are your rescue. What do we mean by that? Only you can rescue yourself. As David said, you know, seek and you will find. Believe in the unseen. Use affirmations. Anything after saying I am is true. If you tell yourself, I am poor, I am broke, I don't, you know, and it's going to be true, whether you can or whether you can't. It's all up to you, whatever you say. After that, if you say you can, then you can. If you say you can't, then you won't. Create holistic success. know, make sure that whatever you're doing, that it's holistic. Do something different. You know, find something different to do. You know, they said if you keep doing the same thing and expect different results, that's the definition of insanity. You know, why would you keep doing the same thing, expecting something different? Do something different. Stop asking for permission. Don't ask people for permission. Just go do it. The Nike commercial said, just do it.
Yep.
Disrupt your soil. Now, this is a deep one right here. You know, you have to, and I understand this from gardening, is that, you know, you have to disrupt the soil so that you can plant seed for them to be able to grow. And when you do that, then you will have a healthy crop. And at times you have to go back, take to make sure you get the weeds out so the weeds don't strangle your plants or your crops as they're growing. So that's very, very important. Next is unpack your story. Have an oral movie. You know, unpack your story. Make sure that your story is told to people. And then make sure it's told in a positive way. Find true abundance. And there's three, you know, when we say find true abundance, abundance is, one, making sure you have spiritual growth. Two, making sure that your health is in order. And three, making sure that your relationships are in order. You know, we look at, as Lisa Nichols is saying, she has a friend who is a billionaire, and he cherishes their relationship because she has her relationships in order with her family members. And here she has a friend that's a billionaire who has no real connection with family members. And so he'll hang out with her and spend, you know, as she said, you know, spend unlimited time with her. She has to ask him to leave and stuff at times because he really cherishes how she's able to have such impactful relationships with her family members. And she says it's because of three things: her spiritual growth, her health, and her relationships with people. And number 10, dream big. Make sure that you dream big. You know, make sure your dreams are so big that, you know, as another friend of mine used to say, you know, that he's so excited that, you know, he'd have to have a twin to help with containing the excitement because there's so much of him to go around. So just, you know, keep those things in mind and make sure you raise your standards, follow your passion, embrace failure, ignore the little man, and believe in yourself. You say ignore the little man is that little man that runs around in your head telling you what you can't do. Whatever they say you can't do, you can do. So you want to keep those things in mind and move on to bigger and better things in life. Back to you, Dave.
Yes, sir. That's powerful, powerful, powerful. And I also want to remind people, too, when you talk about that little man within you, you know, the greater you within you. You know, God said he gave every man gifts and talents. And if you don't want to go outside to look for resources to help you with your cause or your purpose in life, then you must look within. Because every man has a measure of talents and gifts. And it's never too late. Never too late to start nurturing those gifts. Because usually those gifts and talents are things that you already like to do. Things that you have an interest in. And if you put some time and effort into these things, explore them, nurture them, grow them, they can make a way for you. When I say they can make a way for you, they can make money for you. you can be in demand because nobody can do the things the way you can do them, especially if you work within your gifts. So sometimes you have to look within. Sometimes you can't keep looking for outside resources all the time. They're out there to enhance you, to assist you, but your most brilliant, your most gifted talents are within you. And nurture them, find them, seek them, and bring them out. And they will make a way for you. I guarantee you if you do that. But ladies and gentlemen, you know, we don't have that much time left. I just want to share some information to those who's in the listening audience. Again, I published the National Black Unity News newspaper. And there's a host of people that collaborate with us. I want you to go online and look for the NationalBlackUnityNews.com. And look at the issues. You know, on the website, you can look at every issue that we produce. This is going to be our fifth issue that's coming out. And it's a quarterly publication. And it's a wealth of information into these publications. You got a wealth of people in there who's sharing their trade secrets with you so that you can have a better quality of life. And so I encourage you to support this publication. Read it. Pick through it because, like I say, it will enhance you. But at the same time, I have to remind people, we own less than 1% of the media. And I remind people again that most of the information that you receive through the media, through your music, through TV, radio, internet, it's coming from outside resources. And I can guarantee you that most of these resources do not favor you. They want to use you. They use propaganda on you. They want to take the resources from you to use for their purposes. It's high time, ladies and gentlemen. I was just saying earlier about the police killing, because the reason why people can do that and feel no repercussion behind it because they feel as though you're not wielding your power. You have power. We have power as a people. Until we stop supporting one another. It is written, it is said that we spend $2.2 trillion annually in this country. I believe it's 5 or 6 times more than that. But ladies and gentlemen, that equates to about the 9th largest country in the world. That is why everybody from all over the world come to the United States, because there's welfare. That is the reason why all of you people talk about, even what they call the ghetto, the hood. People from all over the world set up shop in the hood because there's wealth there. And so, you know, even about what they call our lowest societies have wealth in it. You just have to learn how to extract that wealth. Use that wealth for your own purposes and for your own good and for your own futures. And you need to support your own kind because every other ethnic group does that. Every other insect, animal, and everything, everybody makes sure that the survival of their people or their loved ones is going to survive, and they support it. We must have to do this. We have to do the same. I know we are all people, but people put us in, man put us in classifications. We have ages, we have this, we have that. Until you want to, like I say, Aretha Franklin just passed, and she had this song, everybody knows it, called Respect. Respect is not given, it's earned. And so is power. Power only concedes to power. Power will not bow down to nothing else but power. Until we recognize and utilize the power that we possess, we're going to continue, like Brother said, we're going to continue this sanity that we're going through right now as a people. Until we come together in unity, and learn to support one another. Support this program. Support the National Black Unity News. Support your black businesses and serve, in spite of. Because that's what they do. That's why they're able to build better schools, better communities, better this. Here we in Baltimore, they can't get air conditioning. We should have had our own schools. We shouldn't have even had to put up with this. But ladies and gentlemen, like I said, time is upon us. And so I just wanted to throw that in there. Support the National Black Unity News, because the National Black Unity News is geared to support you. That's its whole purpose and its soul, is to support you. And so, again, My number is 443-455-2373. The website is www.thenationalblacknewsnews.com. And if you can give me a call, go online, look at the publication, and we have a wealth of other services, but right now that's what I'm highlighting, and we have another issue coming up, and you got about 10 days. If you want to get in this last issue of the year, give me a call at 443-455-2373. If you have a product, good, or services that you want to promote locally and nationally, give me a call. Back to you, sir.
Yes, yes, sir. Frederick Douglass told us years ago, his quote, power can see nothing without a demand. Never has, never will. Show me the hold on. My quote went down here. Hold on, let me pull it back up here. Find out just what any people will quietly, keyword, they quietly submit to, and you have found out the exact measure of injustice and wrong which will be imposed upon them. The limits of tyrants are prescribed by the endurance of those whom they oppress. Frederick Douglass. And that's a powerful quote from that brother who saw even way back then the limitations of power and how it can seize nothing without a demand. So we want to make sure that we understand that the limitations of power and what it is that we need to be focusing on. Also, as we close out today's show, this show again is being brought to you by The Vortex. And The Vortex is online booking site that beats all of the online travel booking sites 85% to 90% of the time. And you can go to www.myvortex365.com/MU group and create a free account. That's right, F-R-E-E, a free account. Use that account, you will save money. And that's what it's all about. We show people how to save money, how to earn money, and how to travel more. Those are our three models of our company. Save, earn, and travel more. So, you know, those are key things to keep in mind as we focus and move forward. Well, we're coming back to the end of our time here today. And so we'll have a show on Wednesday where we'll have retired Army Colonel Mr. Rick Reese on to talk about funding by travel, which is a program that allows nonprofits to position themselves in the $8.1 trillion travel industry and raise money. You do not have to be out here competing for these grants, which we know it's about not the grant. It's about who you know and how you know them and how they know you and whether or not, you know, that you meet the criteria of the grant. I mean, I remember a situation where a person I was helping, they had applied for a grant for $350,000. And they didn't get it the year that they applied for it. But when they applied for it, what happened was the funder saw their application and about 2 years later let them know that they had, you know, they had funds available for them. But by that time, they were no longer doing the program that they had put in for funding. So, you know, that the key is knowing how this whole funding thing works. I'll never forget when me and my wife first got our 501c3 back in 1990. We were so excited and so happy because all of a sudden we thought, man, okay, now where are the grants at? What grants do we qualify for? All we had to do was just turn in the application and that the monies would be rolling in. Well, it took us from 1990 to 2004 to be able to obtain a grant that enabled us to run an after-school program And that's what was through Associated Black Charities. And, you know, but it took 14 years before we finally tapped into a major grant. Before then, we got a lot of little mini grants, the $500 grant here, $1,000 grant there, but nothing that was, you know, able to sustain us as far as running a massive program. So we have a program now where basically you can share with your congregation, which means these mega churches. They got people traveling and going everywhere. Every time somebody uses their Vortex link, which is what we give out, our nonprofit Vortex link, every time somebody uses their Vortex link and saves on their travel, whatever they save, that's what you earn. So if you had 1,000 members of your organization saving $25 every time they went on a trip, that's that's $25,000. Yeah, $25,000. So, you know, this is some huge revenue in terms of the whole travel industry and how to be able to obtain funds and bring in money in that industry. So we're going to close out today's show. You have any closing comments, Mr. Murphy?
Just one. Again, I just want to remind people of our contact information. That's David Murphy, 443-455-2373. And our website is www.thenationalblackunitynews.com. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. And until Wednesday at high noon, we'll get that information out in the program description of upcoming programs. But Wednesday at high noon, make sure you tune in to hear the Funding by Travel presentation by retired Air Force Colonel Mr. Rick Reese. And we thank you for tuning in today. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. And just stay excited. And remember that raise your standards, follow your passion, embrace failure, ignore that little man that be telling you you can't, inside your head, and believe in yourself. All right. Till next time, God bless you. And I want to say thank you to everybody that was out here listening today.